Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, howdy. Mike Carlson here, right with Powerhouse Love Radio. I got a little bit of noise going on right now. Today's show brought to you by Powerhouse Love Events, host of the Natural Living and Healing Conference. Our next conference is in September out in Sandy on the 17th. We are in the mood to find vendors, presenters, and sponsors. So if you would like to participate or just buy tickets, go to www.naturallivingconf.com. or powerhouselovevents.com, whichever you heard and can spell easier. Today's show, we've got Shalice Stevens, who spoke at our last event. Shalice is incredible. She's the founder of the Rainy Days Foundation. She has a huge
passion about helping people and dealing with
sudden loss in their lives. We're going to let her tell you more about her story and what she does. So I'm going to click her into the conversation now and just say, welcome, Shalice.
Hi. Thanks, Mike.
Awesome. Excited to have you today.
I'm excited to be here.
Very cool.
So, Shalice, I kind of gave a little bit in the introduction about you, and one thing I always try to do is let you tell your own story, kind of the way you want to tell it. Tell us about.
All right. Well, my story, like you said, I started Rainy Days Foundation, and the reason why I started this nonprofit organization is because I wanted to help people, again, like you said, dealing with grief and sudden loss, particularly because that's where my healing journey came from and my story came from. 12 years ago, I lost my 4-year-old son in a swimming accident where he drowned. And ever since then, it's kind of been my passion to help his name live on, to do something for him in his name so he can have his legacy and his story, because he's a part of me, so I never wanted to let that die with him.
I love that. And you've got a couple projects going on that you do kind of in honor of your son. I know you've got the foundation, and then what you've written a couple of children's books. Tell us about your books.
Yes, so that's actually the first thing I started doing really soon, actually, after he passed away. I write children's books. The series is called The Adventures of Bug, and I write them for, the potato bug is the little guy that goes on the adventures. That was his favorite bug, so we made him the hero of our stories, and his nickname, my son's nickname was Bug, so that's the name of Bug. And Bug goes on these adventures and meets new people, makes new friends, discovers new things, and is going on all these different adventures. I have two of them that I've gotten already. There's a Christmas one, and then there is also a pirate adventure one that I have. It's Finds the Meaning of Christmas and Swashbuckling Bug. And there is a third one in the works right now titled Love Bug. So, and that's where Bug finds out about love and everything. It's more of a Valentine story, but it's pretty cute. So I have several that I've written. My uncle is the one that's doing the artwork for them, and he's fantastic. And, you know, so it's just when he gets time to be able to do those that we get them out. And so those are near and dear to my heart, and right now I'm selling the two. I have those printed up. I'm just doing self-publishing right now. I'd love to actually be published with a company at this point, but right now doing what I'm doing is great. So,
Awesome. I love that. And I had a chance to kind of flip through your book at the last event while I had a little free time and you weren't busy. And I think that's, those are so cool. Not only because you are doing it on your own, self-publishing and having success in the process, but also that you've involved your uncle and that you are so passionate about carrying your son's name on. I think that's a big thing. And they're awesome books. I think, you know, everybody needs kid books.
And the thing that I liked about them is it's something that my kids could actually read to me. So I wouldn't necessarily have to read a whole page worth of words every time we flip the page. So I think that's fantastic.
I really, really like what you're doing there. And then with the foundation, you know, I don't know if you want to talk more about your personal story or if you'd rather talk about your work through the foundation and what you're doing, what your real reach is there. We've got a ton of time, so
don't hesitate to be long-winded, but is there one, you know, choose one of
pick what you want to talk about.
Okay. Well,
your story or the foundation.
Yeah, let me start out with my story a little bit. Because it's really the buildup. My passion has always been, and my dream has always been, to be able to do public speaking and to sell my book and do book signings and everything like that. Not because I want to focus on the tragedy of the loss of my son, but because I believe that it's the healing part of it and the journey that I've been able to go on since that happened. And I've really experienced it from really all different angles. When I started healing, when the tragedy first happened, I was a mess, obviously. I lost my entire world. And really from that point, I felt like I was a little child again, and I literally couldn't even eat my own food. I remember being fed, and I couldn't grasp the fact that I needed to eat or, you know, survive. And that was always the question, like, how does one survive something like this? And it's a question that I get asked regularly, because I do smile. I do a very positive and optimistic outlook on life. I'm energetic and I love to just live. And, you know, it's something that's always resonated with me when people ask, you know, how did you do it? And I really just do. When something like this happens, nobody ever wants it to happen. Nobody expects it to happen. Nobody ever has a plan for when it happens, because especially, and that's why I want to focus on the sudden loss part of it, is because there's never a plan for what happens. You don't know what you're going to feel. And I mean, honestly, it's the most devastating thing that could ever happen to a person, but it's also the most amazing journey that you can go on to recover from that. And that's not saying that, you know, I've done amazing things, but because of my story, I feel I've been able to make a difference in this world, and that's been helping heal. I have tons of different stories of people that I've encountered in my life, and if it wasn't for the loss that I've experienced, there's no way that I would relate to them and help them through their own journeys. One person in particular that stands out is my friend Amy. And she did lose her son actually on the table, and he died for a short period of time. They were able to bring him back. He was only 6 weeks old. I think it was 6 weeks old. And we were able to, you know, she called me just crying, and I said, you know, Amy, he's not gone yet when they brought him back. And she's like, he's going to have to be in the hospital. And I said, he's not gone yet. You have to fight. You have to be there. You have to continue on being his mom, giving his love, doing everything that you can to fight for him. And that's what exactly what she did. And I was there by her side for many days in the hospital. And I was able to go in and read this little baby that was hooked up to all these tubes. I read him my stories that at that time they were just poems and of bug adventures. And I read those and the spirit or the energy, whatever you want to believe in. But there was definitely that spirit of my son that was with us in that room. And my friend Amy now says, you know, I feel like she never met him, but she said, I feel like I know him and that he's still become a part of my story. And I mean, that means more to me than anything, because the influence that we've been able to make together now is so much more incredible than the influence that I would have been able to make without him in the realm that he's in. I encounter stories like that all the time. I hear of people that that they just come into my life either with near losses or losses, and being able to tell them my story, they are able to open up and start healing. There's a guy that I worked with that he lost his whole entire, he took care of his family for years and years and years, all of them within a short period of time, including his girlfriend who actually committed suicide in his apartment. And this was about 6 months after that last one happened. And because of my story, you can even fast relate to this in my day. And for one, not only did I lose someone, but I also was a healthcare provider. And my mom, who's going blind, lives with me in my house, and I'm taking care of her as well. So the fact that I was able to relate, he said, I've never met anyone that can relate on such a level that you can. And because of that, he started riding his motorcycle again. He'd go up into the mountains, and he would be able to really make those changes in his life and start healing himself. And, you know, we're still friends to this day. We still work at the same place. Manager anymore, but it's still that connection that's there. And I mean, I have story after story after story like that, and I knew that because of message I have to give, those lives are my way to change the world. Like, I want to help the world be a better place, especially right now. There's much heartache and crisis and suicides and guns and everything like that. It's been a really hard time, and people dealing with these things, they don't always have the resources and they don't always know what to do. And it's not always while it's happening. A lot of times it's after, and it's that aftermath of, you know, 2 months later when people are saying, you know, well, you did this loss, but, you know, I have to get on with my life. And they're not doing it to be mean or hurtful or anything, but they do get on with their lives because they aren't actually affected by these losses. They are, but not in the way that you are. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's what I want to do. No, I mean, I would love, I remember having so much hope. And I had a dear friend, my friends have, when my son passed away, you know, they did a beautiful memorial for him where they had pictures and memories and everything like that. And another friend for me went through this huge party for me and had a big poster and, you know, earn money to help me with the funeral costs and everything. I had another friend that did the artwork for the tombstone that is on his grave. And he had connections with a tombstone place as well. And they were able to give me discounts. So, you know, finding those resources for people, for one, is definitely something that I want to be able to do with this, that I'm working on doing right now, flower arrangements, things like that. The other thing that I want to be there for, and doing the coaching and the mentoring, is just being there after they feel everybody else has gone on with their lives and really getting to, because that's when the real healing begins. There's the grieving process for sure, and it's all a grieving process, but there is definitely a point where you start to really time to heal. And you've gotten out your tears. I mean, the tears still come for me. And it's been 12 years. They, you know, those don't go away. That pain, it definitely lessens. And it still hurts, but it's you point where you know how to handle those things and you recognize them and you realize them. The self-awareness that comes with all of this is really a beautiful thing. And that's what I'm so grateful for. When I'm having a bad day and it has to do with my son, I usually know why. When I'm able to hear, you know, stories like even my father-in-law just got diagnosed with cancer and has been given a year to live. And it's a very hard time right now. And I know that my strength is doing what you can do while you're alive, because it's not about the loss is hard and it hurts and it's painful and it is, you do suffer, you go through that, but it's what are you doing while they're still alive? And then how can you help them to live on after? And that's really what my coaching and mentoring, that's what I want it to be, is still continuing to let their legacy live on, but being able to live yourself and really have a life that gives meaning and purpose.
Awesome.
That's,
you know, I think you kind of
where
have,
I am right now.
I love it. And it sounds like I know there's not necessarily a five-step formula or a recipe for this to be perfect for everybody, but it sounds like you've kind of got a method down that works for you, or that worked for you as far as getting through it. And one thing I really liked that you said was that it's not necessarily while it's happening that you're feeling the real pain, because I think, you know, while things are going on, when you're in tragedy, you kind of flip into a little bit of autopilot. And,
yes.
You know, your body, you instinctually know to some level what you're supposed to do to help out, to, you know, do these things. But then after that adrenaline wears off and it's not, you know, this is what happens. I know because I went to school, I'm supposed to do CPR or whatever. Then you really have to start to think about what your next step is. And I think that's where the hard part, like you said, really kicks in, because there's, you know, there's not an answer for everybody. So all the books and stories and cute little memes on Facebook, you know, they may help a little bit, but you don't get a whole lot of, you know, it's not personalized. So developing your own
right.
method, I think, is huge. And I think that needs to
right.
be there for people. You know, we all have mentors, and whether they're paid mentors or just somebody we look up to in our life in so many different facets. You know, I'm sure there's always somebody at work that you want to live up to be in their shoes, or to have the same success that they've had. In your parenting, there's somebody. So why shouldn't there be somebody to coach you through that? Now, when
right.
you talk about loss, do you specifically deal with death, or are there what other situations have you coached through, or would you like to coach through?
You know, actually, I really appreciate you bringing this up, because one of my things that I've really been successful at in my career, I have a career with IHG, Intercontinental Hotels Group, and I've been able to be a coach and a mentor and a team manager. And we've gone through incredible leadership programs that really have spoken to me and have really helped me hone in on the leadership skills that I know that I already have, but just really been able to tighten them up and make me an effective coach and leader. And one of the things that I want to do with this foundation is be able to give that back and give that back in a way for our children. And because I'm very connected to kids, I write kids' books. I write with, you know, a child in mind when I'm writing them. And I think that so many of our problems today in society is that we don't focus, we focus so much on the have-tos and the getting through and the teaching them that we have a curriculum at schools and we have all of these things. And some schools are bringing the leadership aspect in. But I think that we are missing that aspect of teaching our children how to be leaders, how to cope with bullies, how to cope with all of these things that our kids are dealing with nowadays, how to be a good person. And without, you know, I'm not even talking about religion or spirituality or anything like that. I'm just talking the basics on how to be a good human being. And sometimes we miss teaching that. They learn by example. They live by example. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But what are we doing to actually teach them these skills and give them this incredible ability to be a leader and to be competent in who they are and how they're growing and be able to really be their own person and learn how to do that. And so I want to have workshops and classes for children, I mean, starting at the age of 7 or 8 through teenage years, teaching them these skills, teaching them how to really just have these leadership qualities that will help them not only handle their, you know, world right now that they live in, but also be able to grow and develop be able to cope with their emotions as well. I think that all of it has to do with the same thing, you know, instead of picking up a gun, what can they do? I mean, you know, why are we missing these things in the world that so many people are missing? And I mean, especially with suicide right now, suicide is a thing. And it's so sad to watch and see that. And I only say that because I have kids, parents with their children in school that say, you know, people talk about it all the time. Like, oh, I'll just, you know, if I can't do this, then I'll just kill myself. Like, it's something that kids, teenagers nowadays talk about regularly as like it's a coping mechanism. And that's so not okay because they don't realize what they're doing. And they don't know how else to cope. And it's our job as adults and leaders and parents and as citizens to teach our children how to do this. That it's not an easy way out. They're looking at it as an easy way out, but really, are they realizing what they're doing, not only to themselves, but to everybody around them?
Right. And I think I love that message. I've been doing a fair amount on suicide, of research on suicide recently, and it's actually right now in Utah, it's the number one cause of death for age 11 to 17. And yep. You know, any of you that follow the media here in Utah, I'm sure know, you know, what certain causes want to blame that on, but I really think Shalise has hit it on the head here with, you know, we're not teaching kids coping skills as outside of the home. You know, they get, you know, something goes wrong and mom and dad give them a hug and a kiss and a popsicle and send them on their way, and that works at home. But when they go to school, when they encounter that bully, you know, what's the right way to handle it? How do they, when they're in a hard situation, deal with it? And I think our schools, and this is a soapbox I'm going to try to just barely step onto and jump back off, but, you know, our schools are equipping kids to memorize and to take a test at the end of the year so that they can move them on to the next grade. They're not preparing kids for life and for real
right.
situations. You know, we've all, I'm sure, said at some point, you know, hey, I got through another day and I didn't even use algebra. But,
right.
you know, and my 13-year-old tells me things like that all the time. And, you know, I'm very honest with my kids, and I can't help but agree with her, because it's the truth. You know, I barely graduated high school and have, you know, I've had several great careers, and now, you know, moving on into what I'm doing now, you know, we've been fairly successful and had a lot of fun, and none of it is anything that I learned in school other than, you know, like you say, how to socialize, how to be, you know, I consider myself a good person that has a moral compass, but they don't talk about that stuff. And it's hard, right. You know, again, back to my own kids, I've got, you know, my 13-year-old and my little 9-year-old, and they've instilled this crazy level of accountability in these kids on their homework to where, you know, we were having crazy, like, fights about, like, I don't know how to do this, and I have to have it done tomorrow, and I'm going to fail, and I'm going to be in the third grade forever, and on and on and on. And, you know, sometimes you just can't help them. But, you know, I focused more on that at that point on, okay, this isn't the right way to handle this situation. Let's find a different way for you to deal with this. Because they would say things like, I just want to die, or, you know, things like that. And then, you know, it's like, okay, stop. You know, what does that mean? You just want to die. Do I run you to to a shrink? Do I, you know, what's my next step as a parent so that I don't have a statistic in my house?
Absolutely.
And that, you know, my kid can move on. So I think to bring a long story to a point, like, I love what you're doing. And I think that's so huge. And there are, you know, we're talking about kind of forms of loss, and if there's just death, that there's so much, you know, that is loss. You know, I remember, you know, my parents always, they've been married for 30 some odd years now, and they've got a fantastic relationship. But I remember seeing my friends whose parents went through divorces, and, you know, it's almost like they got a free pass to be a-holes for a while,
right?
Because of what was going on, and you know, they need somebody to step in there and say, okay, you know what, that's awesome if you want to do that, that's, you know, that's fantastic and that's your choice, but we could do this and you could learn from it and do good for other people. You know, there's divorce, there's job loss. I lost a job one time, and it was I kind of laughed about it. And more or less because I knew I could walk across the street and get another job that I might enjoy better, and that anywhere I went, I'd be okay. But when I came home, you know, my wife had all the confidence in the world in me. But, you know, when I told my kids I'd been fired from my job or I'd been let go, it was just like they went into this state of panic and didn't know what to do.
Right.
So I love that, you know, and we hadn't talked about that before with the kids. I love that you're focusing on kids. I think that's so important.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I mean, even, you know, pets, losing pets or grandparents or, you know, things like that we do. I mean, I remember, you know, one of my favorite dogs. Well, actually, both of my dogs that were very close to me, I lost them, and I really honestly realized that I dealt with that years later as an adult, because you don't know how to help your kids through something like that all the time. Like, I mean, there are things, but sometimes we forget about those little things. Oh, it's just a pet. It's just a fish. It's just a dog or whatever. And to a little kid, that's their world. That's their best friend, you know, or even moving away and how dealing with that and all those different things that I think that just teaching them those coping mechanisms and those leadership skills is, I mean, that's, that's really that's the key right there. And everybody, and also letting them know it's okay to have a bad day. It's okay to feel this way. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to, but what are you going to do with that now?
Yeah, so absolutely. Well, and you know, I really do, like you said, I think it's okay to feel that for a minute, but you have to watch what it turns into.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, one of the ways we do our kids a huge disservice. Last year, about a year and a half ago now, I guess, my grandmother died, and she was really probably, I hope my parents never listen to this, but probably like the biggest influence in my life. And, you know, I lost people as a kid, and I remember feeling the same way, but it's just like I focused on how hard it was for me that my grandma was gone. I didn't even think twice about how my kids felt about it. And then, you know, it was just like, oh, they're kids, you know, they don't understand. But, you know, a month later when my little daughter, who was 5 at the time, and it might have been more than a month, you know, she still does it. Like, she'll come up and tell me, you know, how much she misses Grandma Edie and of these little things that they did together that were such small things. But she remembers that, and it's really hard for her to not have her. And, you know, until a few months later when she started saying those things, I had no idea that she cared.
Right.
You know, and I knew she cared, and I knew she was sad, but it was just like, oh, well, whatever, you know, life goes on.
Right.
So that's, I don't think as parents a lot of times we're equipped to know
I think a lot of times as parents,
and
what we do is we try to
on our own.
Exactly.
Sorry.
And we're also trying to, it's okay, we're also trying to protect them. And we don't want them to suffer like we are. So we try to sugarcoat a lot of things like death and all of these things. I actually wrote a blog post last night, mainly because it was my way to try to help my family deal with the loss of their or, you know, the not gone yet, but the whole process of losing their dad and what that looks like. And I did put, you know, 5 things to remember to do with him right now because he is still alive. Remember to live. But I also put in there that it helps even with sudden loss or with loss at all is, you know, making those memories, helping them to live on and remembering them in the light that they want to be remembered in. And as well asking yourself, you know, how would I want to be remembered? And then, you know, passing that on to your kids. Let's think of fun stories that grandma did. Let's look at some pictures. Let's, you know, make those memories and really, you know, help them to create those stories about grandma and grandpa or about, you know, their pet or whatever it is. And just really not having that fear of having them hurt because they're going to hurt. And if they don't understand why it is they're hurting, and talking to them about it and doing these things with them, then that's what messes us up as adults. We're like, we feel all these emotions and this thing, and we don't know what it is because we never learned how to deal with it when we were kids. We never learned how to really feel it and accept it and acknowledge it and then learn how to heal it. We just learn how to cover it up.
Absolutely. Well, and I think in those situations, a lot of times, you know, mom and dad are so busy not just grieving, but, you know, they're also dealing with, you know, estates and all the grown-up issues that come with that stuff. And that kind of keeps, you know, your mind busy. And like you say, it's
right.
when you finally slow down, it's just like, okay, cool, all this is handled. You know, I'm not real sensitive, you know that, but, you know, so-and-so's in the ground now, you know, we can move on with life. So I don't, I think that, oh, I can't even remember where I was going. But yeah, that's where it starts in. And so having that coach there, or a friend to guide you through, really is important.
Right. And sometimes
and
it's nice when it is. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine. Go ahead.
I was just going to say sometimes, you know, that's why I want to do what I'm doing with my foundation and with the kids and everything, is because sometimes it's, since the parents are grieving, or whoever it is that is grieving, they need that time. I mean, I remember when I was grieving and I was going through that, I didn't want my family around. I didn't want to talk to them. I didn't want to know what their pain was, because I needed to deal with my own. And that, to me, for the first time in my life, actually, was when I was like, no, this is mine. And a lot of times when we're grieving, we don't realize, it's not a conscious thing that a lot of us do, but you know, when we want to grieve and we want to feel it, we need to do that for us. Why I want to be that sounding board, either for the parents, of course, or for anyone, but also for the children, to be able to have a place to go to say, you know, let's talk about this. What are you feeling? And having that outside source, because then they're not scared either to say, oh, I don't want to hurt mommy or daddy's feelings by saying, this is how I'm feeling. You know, maybe they are angry with mom or dad because they didn't get to go on vacation last year with grandma and grandpa, or maybe they are having these feelings, and that's okay for them to feel that. But if they're worried about hurting mom and dad, then, or mom and dad is worried about hurting the kid, then it's just, it's nice to have that outside person to say, hey, let's go and do this activity together. Let's go talk about stuff. Let's just go for, you know, a walk or do something as a group, and let's, you know that you're not alone, and really help them through this process. And by doing that, they can probably, and my hope is that they will be able to help their parents as well.
I like that a lot. So you shared a story that I loved on your blog a while ago, and well, it wasn't that long ago, maybe a week, talked about something that happened at the Natural Living Conference. Is that something you'd be comfortable sharing and talking about on here? I'd love to hear
more
about it.
Absolutely. When my little boy passed away, there were two lifeguards, and they were both very young. One was 17, one was 16. One had been on the job for 2 weeks. The girl had been on the job for 2 days, I believe. And she had, you know, I've thought about these lifeguards, because there is a whole story, you know, about them. I mean, they were the ones giving CPR. They, you know, there were things that were going on. I was standing right there waiting to jump in, because these were just kids, and I'd been CPR certified for years and years and years. And luckily there was a nurse that was guiding them through it that happened to be at the pool as well. But obviously their efforts didn't pay off. And there was a feeling inside of me that was very angry with these kids. And it wasn't anything to do with anything that they did wrong, but it's just part of that grieving process. In my speech, I talked about how, you know, I was angry with everyone. I was angry with God. I was angry with my son for leaving me. I was angry with myself. I was angry with everyone involved. And, you know, they were definitely absolutely involved. And 'cause I remember when they were doing the CPR, they didn't have his head held back enough, and they filled his stomach up with air instead of his lungs, and he threw up, and I was like, oh, he's going to be fine, but they didn't get a heartbeat, so they had to do it all over again, and that time they did it right. But, you know, part of my thinking was, what if that happened, and, you know, there was, or, you know, what if they were doing it right at the first place, all these things that, you know, there was just a lot of what ifs and anger and sorrow that came along with a lot of that. I had to definitely get through that. That was one of the things I had to heal from. And last year I was driving home and I get an email, and I didn't really think anything of it until I stopped in my driveway and I looked at it, and I realized that it was from this girl that was a lifeguard. And I just started bawling because I was reading her story and her journey through it. And I had got by this point, I mean, this was last year. So, you know, it'd been 11 years. And at this point I had forgiven them and everything, but I've obviously have never talked to them about it. I've always thought, you know, how horrible would it be for this 16-year-old girl who's just a baby herself trying to rescue a baby and not succeeding. You know,
yeah.
I can only imagine what she went through because of that. And so when I'm reading this, and I am reading her story, and it's pretty much what I imagined that she had gone through, you know, her pain and having to deal with not being able to save him, she had to come to the conclusion she did everything she could in order to save him. And, you know, and she wrote me this, she found me, she sought me out and found me because through my books, actually, through my website and my books. And said that she had a friend who was really close to losing a child, or no, she did have she had two miscarriages, so she did lose her babies. And she wrote a song, and she wanted the girl to help her write this song. And she said that when she was writing it, she had my son and me in her mind while she was writing it and thinking of, and was very, you know, she just needed to share it with me and tell me about it. So, and she said she wanted to buy some books. I didn't get them to her until I went to the conference because I didn't have any printed up. And so when I sent them out to her about a week before the conference, probably, or shortly before, I just let her know, oh, hey, I'm going to be up there. I'm going to be speaking. Just told her kind of what I was going to be doing. And that was the end of it. When I was speaking, at the end of it, a girl came up and she had her baby with her and said, hi, I'm Melody. And I knew exactly who she was. And I just, like, I haven't ever seen her. I never even talked to her that day. Like, that wasn't even something, you know, I'd never have had any interaction with her whatsoever. And I just grabbed onto her and I just felt like the forgiveness that I had experienced, but just being able to hug her and hold her, and her baby was in her arms too, wondering, you know, what the heck is this woman doing? Kissing his face. And I mean, I just had so much love for her and understanding, and the fact that she was a part of my story. She just, like, it was just awesome. And, you know, it wasn't a large group that I spoke to that day, but if nothing else, the fact that she got to hear it, and she said, your story, you telling your story and your bravery in telling me that has helped me heal even more. And like, that to me was the most valuable and most important thing I could have gotten out of anything. And that's what I'm saying. Like, one life, if I can change one life from any interview or anything that I end up doing, any speaking presentation, anything, that's changing the world, because it's changing that one person's life. And that's all we can do, is that's all we can hope for, is to change one person at a time, or to help them, or to see, and hopefully they'll take that and they'll be able to heal from it, and they'll be able to help heal someone else. And that will just domino effect on, and we'll be able to share that love and share that healing with the people we come in contact with.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that story. When I read that on your blog, I was so blown away, and I had seen that you're emotional when you had come out of the room, but I don't know how you held yourself together nearly as well as you did. That's, like, you guys should go on the road telling that story, honestly, because it's huge. You know, and there's so much opportunity there for, you know, you to hold a grudge or resentment or whatever you want to call it, and justifiably so, to some extent. But, you know, to realize that, you know, that it's not all about me, I can, you know, if I don't let this part go, I'm not going to be able to move on, I think,
right,
is very, you know, I want to say adult or mature, but it's, you know, it's more than that. It's, you know, it's knowing, understanding yourself. And,
right, and that's exactly what it is. Exactly. And that's why, you know, sometimes I ask myself, why did it take me so long to do this? Because this is something that I've wanted to do pretty much since it happened. I'm like, I want to do something with this. I want to be able to give back in some way. And, you know, I've watched friends of mine. I have another friend who she's started her nonprofit organization because she lost her son to leukemia. And so she, you know, she goes and gets money and iPods and gifts and things for the leukemia patients. She lives in Oregon right now and the kids and everything. And I've watched her do this since you know, soon after she lost her son. And I was like, that's what I want to do. She's such an inspiration. Why haven't I done that yet? But I've realized that my purpose and my story needed to wait, and I needed to get to a spot where I could feel confident in saying, this is my message, this is how I healed, and this is how I'm still, you know, continuing to heal. But for the most part, I feel like I'm there at that point where I'm not, I don't struggle with it anymore. I still have bad days, but it's not that, there's not that why. There's not that, you know, complete devastation that was going on for so long. And I needed to have every experience that I had in my past to be able to affect whoever it is I need to affect moving forward. And that's the beautiful thing about healing and journeys and your past is everybody's path is different. Everybody's meant to affect other people in different ways. And it's a beautiful thing, you know, watching whether you do it right after or whether you do it 12 years later, like me, I haven't not done it though. That's the thing that I sometimes forget, or I've forgotten for a while, that I still, you know, every encounter that I have has been part of this journey. And now that's why I can be such a solid presenter and an influencer and counselor, not counselor, but mentor and coach to other people, is because I've been there and I got through it. And this is how.
Yeah, I love that. And your coaching background at work, I think, probably helps a lot. You know, I know, like, I went through some great leadership trainings through my previous career. And, you know, a lot of what I learned there applies so much to, you know, personal success and overcoming the struggles that show up in our lives. You know, it's pretty incredible to be able to just use all of that and apply it.
Right.
And you have two kids, two more children, right?
Yep, I do. I have my 8-year-old daughter, and who is very intelligent and extremely intuitive and with it. And I mean, she's amazing. She's such a huge, she was my life baby, I would call her, because she's, I guess they call them rainbow children. And those are the kids that you have after you've lost. But I mean, she's totally that. I mean, when she draws family pictures, Caleb's always there, and you know, she refers to him as her brother, and which he is, but you know, it's just really incredible to see her and see that. And then I also have now my little 4-year-old son, which is also the perfect, I mean, it's ironic, but it's perfect at the same time, that I'm starting to do all this when my son is the age that I lost my other son at. And it's really just, you know, watching him and oh my gosh, he's just as wild as my son was. And but having that extra sense of joy that comes with that. And again, like, I'm not the perfect mom by any means. Like, I yell at my kids, I have a short temper, I try really, really hard not to, but they know exactly how. I say that Caleb is telling DJ exactly how to push my buttons, because he is able to do it all the time. He's got that down. So I see my son and both of my children, and one on the more spiritual, well, both of them on the spiritual energetic side of things, because one's the sweeter, softer side, and then the other's the wild, crazy side. But also, he has a huge heart as well. And my son, my Caleb, as wild as he was, that was one thing that everyone said about him, is that he loved with all of his heart. I mean, his first thing that he would say to people, he would be like, "Hi, my name's Caleb. Do you want to be my best friend?" Like, And so I'm told that I'm the same way. I can go to lunch with somebody and be their friend for life. So,
yeah.
So at least that's a good thing
that.
I'm passing on.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. You know, kids are wonderful for just their openness and not caring about, you know, who people, you know, what people look like or the things that adults worry so much about. You know, just I love that kids just all they know how to do is love. You know, that's my favorite. My oldest was in a Spanish immersion program, and when she was in kindergarten, everywhere that we went, you know, anybody that was like two shades off of white, she would go up and say "Hola" to them, and it was so like awesome and embarrassing all at the same time. I never told her not to do it, but I mean, Chinese people, and they just look at me like, hey, you know, what are you feeding this kid? And I'd always just tell her to say something else to him. You know, show her what you learned in Spanish. And, you know, it was so cool to see her just open up like that and want to share. And the neighbor kids around here just playing. I love it. I love kids, and I think what you're doing for kids is phenomenal. And I am really excited to watch your foundation grow and really make a difference in the world. Because that's what, you know, that's what life's about. You know, connection is a far greater thing in a lot of ways than money. And,
absolutely.
You know, a lot of times people misuse it, but it's such an important thing. And I feel very lucky to have met you. And to just see your passion for changing the planet or the status quo or, you know, whatever euphemism you want to use, but just to bring more more love on into the world, I think is awesome, and more healing. Because if there's one thing we definitely know is that, you know, hurt people, I think is the same.
Yep.
And you know, to be able to offer somebody a different outcome and a different, you know, a different future basically is huge, because like we talked about earlier, there are so many people that are just opting out and taking their lives over things that really, you know, you look at it and you're, oh man, that's stupid. I can't believe they did that. But you know, obviously they probably needed to hear you say that to them before they chose to end their life.
Right.
You know, so I think communicating now, like you said, with your father-in-law is very true. You know, just being able to live and not, you know, how crappy would it be for him to last a year and then to just sit by his bedside and watch him and mope for a year.
Right.
You know, so I love that. So we've got about 5 minutes left. Is there anything you want to cover that we didn't? We need to tell people, actually, now that I ask you a question and I'm going to butt back in. I know you have another speaking engagement planned. And then I need you to tell people about that and then about where they can find your books and more about your foundation and your services.
All right. Well, my next speaking engagement is not till the end of September, but that's coming up quicker than we think. I'm actually going to Casper, Wyoming, and I researched some different holistic expositions and everything like that, and met this wonderful woman, and I'm going to be speaking at her event. That's September 24th and 25th. And it's a 2-day event. I'm not sure exactly which day. She said maybe I'll even be able to speak both days, which would be phenomenal. That would be absolutely incredible. But it's the holistic exposition in Casper is what it is. I have some of the information. I'll have more information coming up. You can follow me on Facebook. You know, Rainy Days Foundation, facebook.com/Rainy Days Foundation. You can like my page. You can also, it's on my website too, rainydaysfoundation.com or .org will take you to my website. And there you can read my blog. You can like my Facebook page, and see, you know, what I'm doing, and I'll be giving, I'm trying to at least get one or two blogs out a week at this point. Inspiration has been hitting me left and right. So, this week I had something to, I wrote about freedom as well on the 4th of July and what it means to me. And really goes back to what you were just saying about, you know, just loving everybody no matter what color they are or what race or what sex or, you know, not hating other people because of who they love or what they want to do with their lives. That's their life. Let them live their life. They're living, they're happy. What does it have to do with you? You know, people that focus on other people's things that they don't agree with, that's so wrong. I mean, but that goes back clear back to the, you know, medieval times when you're not believing in the religion that I want to believe in. And so we're going to, you know, take over your world or we're going to kill you or whatever. So it's like, it's definitely a pattern that we've just lived in for so many years. Our whole world is like that. So it's being that change and really, you know, what that means to you. And just accepting people for who they are and allowing, we live in a beautiful time right now where so many people can do so many things with their lives. And it should just be okay. Like there's nothing that says, you know, the American dream is a cookie cutter, you know, white picket fence house and a corporate America job and everything like that. That to me is not the American dream. The American dream is being able to find freedom. And what freedom means is being able to really know who you are and really being able to accept and be true to yourself and love other people and help other people through it. So anyway,
no, I love it.
I get on my soapboxes too.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. We live in an absolutely phenomenal time, where the dissemination of information is so easy. It almost hurts us more than it helps us. But, you know, I think there's so many different things that we can do and learn about and know, and so much of that time ends up wasted with being angry or hate.
Yep.
And we're about done, but thank you for coming on, and we hope, I know you're out for September, but, you know, we definitely want you to come and speak at our conferences again. And share your message, and so that way, you know, it's easier for us to watch your success and see your company and your foundation grow. And then hopefully we'll see you on the podcast again real soon. But again, thank you so much, Elise. This has been Powerhouse Love Radio, brought to you by the Natural Living and Healing Conference here in Utah. NaturalLivingConf.com or PowerhouseLoveEvents.com, whichever floats your boat. Buy a ticket, buy a booth. Let's get you involved and learning more from amazing people like Shalice. Thank you all so much for listening today, and we'll talk again soon.